will be held Wednesday, April 3rd, 5 to 9 p.m. at 18th Street Lounge, 1230 9th Street Northwest. Meet some of your favorite local programmers, enjoy great music, and partake in good spirits. Music by DJ Rahsaan, Music Relief Radio, Kamal Harris, Beats, Bars, and Bangers, and featuring DJ Divine, Soulful House Sessions. Food by Chef Jarobi of Flavorful Influences. Tickets are $20 and available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW Live. For details, call 202-618-2110. WPFW, changing the world one live event at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on!
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday at the same time, and we've been coming to you for 15 years at the same time. We want to thank you for tuning in to Crossroads, your station on WPFW for justice, jazz, and justice. Crossroads is designed to address the issues of the criminal justice field, and joining me, as always, is our distinguished co-host, Nikisha Taifa, my beautiful wife, Martine, and we got two topics for you this morning that would really really put you in the soup. Or sometimes I can't think of nothing to say. As usual, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Federal judges consider federal prison conditions during sentencing. The flow in prisoners to federal prison must pass through the federal courts, and specifically federal judges. The Federal Bureau of Prisons usually has no input as to its ability to handle the care of the defendant in prison, and when asked, they most always say they can. However, the BOP is tasked with carrying out the imposed sentence and caring for the prisoner during sentence, no matter its duration. Judges are looking at conditions in federal prisons as part of their calculations for fashioning this sentence. Oh, boy, this is something. Judge Furman noted in three reasons, he's with the Southern District of New York. He noted his three reasons for his decision to allow an inmate out on bail to report back to court for sentencing, which is unusual. Inmates at the MDC spend an inordinate amount of time on lockdown, that is, locked in their cells, prohibited from leaving for visits, calls, showers, classes, or exercise. The MDC is notoriously, and in some instances, egregiously slow in providing necessary medical and mental health treatment to inmates. More judges want information on how the BOP will carry out a sentence and care for the person while incarcerated. Those convicted of crimes, just like the general population, have health and mental health issues that may make a term of incarceration more difficult for one prison as opposed to another. They are not cops. They don't have guns, but they're responding to more 911 calls. A new generation of first responders is handling mental health calls and other emergencies in cities across the United States. People experiencing mental or behavioral health crises and addictions have often been subject to police use of force, arrest, and incarceration. One of the most common new approaches, and one that has rapidly gained traction since 2020, are civilian co-responder programs in which behavioral health specialists Often social workers show up to certain emergency calls alongside the police. These can include situations like suicide threats, drug overdoses, and psychiatric episodes. Typically, the officers on the team have special training in crisis intervention. These programs are often popular with law enforcement, while some critics argue that they don't do enough to remove police from the situation. Crime becomes top voter concern in D.C.'s closest Maryland suburbs. The Maryland poll shows significantly more people in Montgomery County and PG County are worried about public safety. And that is something. Last week, the city council and the mayor signed the bill, the Emergency Secure Crime Bill Act in Washington, D.C. And also yesterday on the TV, Channel 5, Fox News said that the crime is going down. And the city council passed the bill, said that crime is out of control. And we're saying that no matter what it is, we got solutions or recommendations that can help address this crime. It's not just PG County and Montgomery County. The entire United States of America is undergoing a crime crisis all across the country. So our two gentlemen, our guests for this morning, will share some insights on that and what we can do to address this problem that's affecting all of us. And that has been what we call the grapevine information that you can use. The grapevine. Good morning, Brother Carlisle Holder, Chairman and President and CEO of Correctional Management and Communication Group, LLC. Man, that's a mouthful. You know that? That's a whole mouthful.
You know, Brother Roach, I don't know. We don't need to even go there because that really is not about the work that we're trying to accomplish here and really appreciate. Just call me as the great servant.
Oh, there you go. You're always a humble guy, man. And also joining us is Dr. Ron Garrett, Director of Reentry United. How you doing this morning, Dr. Garrett?
Good morning to you all, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be included in the show this morning. Really looking forward to it.
And thank you, and none other than our outstanding co-host, Miss Nkechi Taifa. Boy, she is our energizer bunny. And before we go any further, I just want to mention that we lost two of our co-hosts a few months ago, Dr. Sandra Butler Truesdale, who's been our co-host on our show that every 4 months we do a segment called Going Down Memory Lane. She passed away a few months ago. And just 5 days ago, our other co-host on Crossroads, Steve Fitzbolton, he passed away a few days ago. So our hats off to our two co-hosts. In fact, they've been with us for the past 4 or 5 years doing this show. So may they rest in peace to Steve Fitzbolton and Dr. Sandra Butler Truesdale. We miss you both. And thank you for sharing your wisdom and knowledge with our listeners here on Crossroads. Now let's get to what we're here for this morning. There's a conference coming up, the National Returning Citizens Conference, April 5th and 6th, Friday and Saturday in Arlington, Virginia. And this conference, as we've been told and getting information on, you're getting quite a bit of buzz on this. People calling, wanting to make reservations to participate and attend. This is supposed to be one of the largest national returning citizens conference in the country. We want to thank you for your Brother Carlisle Holder and Dr. Ron Garrett for pulling this off. And I know Nkechi had something. Boy, everything we bring on the show, that Nkechi footprints, handprints, fingerprints, her smile, her energy. Boy, she's involved with it. Nkechi, I don't know what we would do if you wasn't around, Nkechi Taifa.
Coach, just following in your footsteps and, you know, the great work that Carlisle Holder has been doing, Dr. Ron Garrett and the like. It's just a pleasure to be in their company and assisting wherever I can assist. So, yeah, what's about this conference coming up, my brothers?
Go ahead, Roach. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I want to thank Nkechi for, you know, she's part of our committee, and you know she brings a great network doing this work. You know, I'm always reminded to remind people that they say the work is plentiful and the laborers are few. So those of us that are doing the work, we find ourselves sometimes being stretched to our limits. So I want to thank Sister and Kichi for agreeing to be part of this, be part of our committee.
Okay. And Dr. Garrett, how did you get involved with this National Returning Citizens Conference? And on Pacific, now, how did you know this guy on the right next to you, that old Carlisle Holt? I've been knowing that rascal, but he's something else, man.
Well, actually, I'm a returning citizen myself. I served 20 years in the Georgia Department of Corrections.
Wow.
And we kind of had an idea about having the National Returning Citizens Conference back in 2021. The first one, was a virtual conference. And I was on a call with Mr. Carlisle Holder, one of my number one mentor advisors. And yes, mentor advisor is a word. That's my word. I made it up. And so we got to talking about this idea, and he was telling me about the 400 years of African American Historical Commission, and how he would, consider wanting to hear more about it, and to see if they could actually become the sponsor of this thing. And so it's just kind of taking flight from there. I'm just overjoyed to have met him. He's been an absolute great inspiration to my life and a great support, and I really appreciate it.
And I just want to add to what you just said. I met Carlisle Holder, would you believe, at a funeral. We were standing in line signing the guest book for Walter Ridley. Used to be the director of the D.C. Department of Corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter and I got to be friends. In fact, he and his wife, she was in charge of the D.C. Board of Parole. And I used to catch a lot of pushback, Brother Holder, for being close or tight with Mr. Ridley, Delbert Jackson, John. For some reason, the wardens and I seemed to be all right. I don't know how that happened, but I had a lot of pushback. Every warden we had in Lawton, I got to be okay with the warden. I could go to his house and talk, and the guys called me all kinds of names. You know how that goes, Ron. But it didn't make no difference. I look at men as people, as human beings, as Carlisle, Walter Ridley, and these gentlemen. It doesn't matter what suit you wear, what uniform you have on. It's what's in your heart. And this man's heart has been right there, and you can see in plain sight. And I want to thank you for allowing us to bring you on the show this morning. But Carlisle, you are quite a guy. Everybody I talked to who was in the institution, you was the warden for 12 or 14 years in the federal prison system.
And down, man, in Florida.
Yes, huh? Sir. Yes, sir. And it's an amazing hearing you read that story. I actually opened that Brooklyn detention facility in 1998, and we didn't have those kind of problems. I left there in 2000.
Yeah. Well, it's in fact, it surprises us that judges now are considering. That's the first time since you're a returning citizen, Ron. You don't understand this. Judges never considered what they're going to send you. When they're giving you time, it's up to the Department of Corrections have you. Now they're concerned about what happens to somebody when they go inside the institution. And they're allowing this man to stay out while waiting sentencing. You don't never get bond while waiting sentencing because they're trying to find out the conditions that you'll be incarcerated in. This is unusual. What do you say about that, Ron?
I've never known that any time that I've ever had to either be in jail or be in prison. I was in prison for one long stint of 20 years, but I don't know any part of my sentencing process where they took into account the conditions of the facility that they were going to send me to. That never happened. So I'm totally amazed at where we are with this particular situation.
And what's your take on that, Nikichi?
Well, it's just another situation of, is it justice or is it just us? Hello.
Right, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. You know, I think that bring us to the fact that we have, as part of our conference, a directors panel. And we have four directors of correction because we believe they have the authority to make sure that their systems provide every human being that they interact with the opportunity to fulfill their God-given talent. You know, we can talk about it, but the change has to begin from the inside out.
It has to
begin with the leaders like myself, who was a former administrator. And that's why I'm so committed. I'm so committed to the cause and why we're here. And we're so grateful for the 400 African American History Commission and the Faith and Justice Subcommittee, where I serve as vice chair and chair of the Returning Citizens Conference, because we know we have to do something different in order to make sure that we give every single person that's leaving our correctional facilities and prison a true opportunity for restoration, right, and to be successful. So our conference is not some show. It's not something that we just doing. We're really trying to make a difference. And I'm so happy to have, you know, folks like Nkechi and Ron and the other committee members. We have a diverse committee that is dedicated, you know, to making sure that this conference is not just a conference, but a conference that we can come up with solutions, right, to make to make sure we have the impact that we need for those that are returning to our communities.
I'm glad you said that, Brother Carlisle, because most conferences are just people get out of town and have a nice trip away from home. This is one of the conferences I've spoken to several people. We're talking about a working conference to come up with solutions and recommendations. And the diversity of the panelists, the guests, the moderators, and the presenters is a diverse cross-section of the entire criminal justice spectrum. And we're looking and hoping for some things to come out of that to bring, because in America, we're in a crime crisis all over this country. And we can utilize those people that's been inside, like Dr. Ron Garrett. He said he did 20. I did 30 years and 4 months on an installment plan. And believe me, I've been doing this work for 51 years. And it seems like, Doc, that the more we make a progress, one step up, we make 4 or 5 steps back. Things just seem as though they had gotten worse. So your conference, you want to share some of the components of the conference, Dr. Garrett, what folks can expect who would attend the National Returning Citizens Conference?
Yes, sir, I will. And I just want to kind of just give just a quick overview, if I could, of the layout of the conference on Wednesday, April the 3rd. We're going to have a HBCU roundtable, which is going to consist of HBCU college presidents who have a bachelor's degree program operating inside of a prison in their region. And there will also be a speaker's reception. On Thursday, April the 4th, we will have a golf tournament at the Woodmore Country Club. To kind of, you know, that's going to be for, I think they specifically designed that for Carlisle so that he would make sure that he had an activity he could have a ball at. Thursday evening, we're asking to have a comedy show featuring Kevin Anthony and Chris Thomas. Friday, a full day of conference. Friday evening, we will be actually screening the movie, the documentary Kimba Smith. Yes. When we give the details for how people can go to register for this, if you haven't seen the Kimba Smith documentary, please come out for that component. Saturday, a full day of conference. Saturday evening, the National Returning Citizens Awards Gala. And we will have our guest, Mamalou Stewart, is going to open it up for us. We have a special musical guest in Life Jennings is going to be with us to perform for the gala. And then on Sunday, March the 7th, we will have a march and rally in Washington, D.C. This is very important because one of the main reasons such attention and detail has been spent for this particular conference is because this is the 50-year anniversary of the legislation being passed, which created the war on drugs. And we know how that greatly impacted the African-American community and greatly contributed to the rise in mass incarceration. So we look forward to everyone being coming out and joining us for this awesome week of activities.
Where would the march and the rally take place? Where would they assemble for the march and the rally?
The march and rally, we will assemble at the African-American Civil War Memorial at about 9 o'clock on April 7th. And we will march to the Lafayette Square, which is where we have about an hour of rally that will take place with speakers, along with there will be prayers offered by the 4 Abrahamic faiths that will be with us on that day as well.
Okay.
All right, let me also emphasize that in addition to what Dr. Ron said, we're talking about keynotes and special presentations. We're talking about 24 breakout sessions in covering areas of faith, education, workforce development, jobs, housing, health and family reunification, law, juvenile justice, research and history, technology. I mean, it is all wrapped up there in one. And people say now, you know, freedom ain't free or whatever. There's a cost to the convening. But I understand that there's some scholarships, hopefully still some left, for returning citizens. And maybe you can speak about that. But before you do, the film that Ron mentioned on Kimba is 100% totally free, complimentary, open to any and everybody to come. But we want people to enjoy the whole conference. So how can people, what's the website and or the, is there a way, or maybe you can connect specifically with Roach in terms of whatever those sponsored tickets for returning citizens are? How does that work?
Yeah, well, we, you know, first they can go to NRCC24.org to register. You know, one of the things that we were real deliberate about is making this conference cost effective. I don't think in today's world you can go to a conference for $99. That's what the registration fee is. And for those justice-involved individuals, we give scholarships. At our last meeting, all the scholarships were gone, but I asked them to add another 50 scholarships. So the opportunity for you to come and experience like all the 24 breakout sessions and the four major sessions, I think it's such a great opportunity. And we know that the DMV is known for the power that the returning citizens have. You can vote, you can hold office, you can vote much different than in my state where I currently reside. So we want folks to go and sign up. And
Carlisle, I just got a note from the conference mover and shaker organizer. She said scholarships are remaining and the promo code is justice, all capital letters, JUSTICE. And I presume there's some kind of way for people to know that they are justice involved. So like Michelle Obama doesn't try to get in for on a scholarship when she could pay that $99.
Yeah, we're gonna trust, but not verify, right? Okay.
And you know, Roach, you fed on the show quite often. Fox and Rob. I know the Sybil Richardson is going to be one of the keynote speakers. And I know, Carlisle, I mean, the luminaries that are going to be keynotes, like from Virginia and all like that. You or Ron may want to speak to. That I just know the grassroots folks, but
yeah, well, I've known Fox, Fox. I've taken her to even speak in Trinidad, my home country. Ah. So I mean, she's had such an amazing story, and she's going to be the keynote speaker for the first day. But we have a host of other powerful speakers. Tony Loudon, the former reentry czar at the White House, reentry czar. And I know we have a host of politicians that are formerly justice involved. We want to hear their story because what I like that we do that may separate us from everybody else. We give everybody a seat at the table. You know, so we know that everybody has an opportunity to hear from a variety of individuals from all different backgrounds. And so we really want you to go and register because time is of the essence. As you know, the 5th and 6th will be upon us. And we really want to send a message, right, about 50 forward. That's what the march and prayer rally is about, breaking the cycle of mass incarceration in America. We can't continue to allow so many of our people, and particularly those that look like us, to be impacted by this. And I think we can break that if we all work together in unity.
You know,
and I want to remind people, go to www.nrcc2024.org, and that stands for National Returning Citizens Conference, nrcc2024.org, to register. Only $99, folks. You can't I beat that. And there's some parts that are free as well. I think the rally's free too. Is that correct?
The rally's free, and that registration come with two lunches, you know, and you get the Kimba. You get the Kimba screening, and we're gonna have some food there because it's in the evening to make sure that the folks stay. You know, we understand that food sometimes may be the deciding factor whether somebody stay or leave. So the planning committee, and I want to thank each and every one, a member of our planning committee that make this possible, and particularly the 400 African American History Commission for their support. They, you know, when I presented this idea, you know, I didn't know whether it was going to get legs, and I thank Ron. You know, when Ron presented the idea for me, something that I've been passionate about and something that I know that as a society and as a community, we have to embrace them and we have to provide them with every opportunity for change.
You know, one of the things I'm sitting there looking at you on Zoom, Carl Allen, and it always present. You used to be a warden. You've been in the prison corrections for 42 years. And you were spearheading something for the National Returning Citizens Conference. And to have a warden who is focused and concerned about what happens to people after they get out. You are in a league all by yourself, sir. And I know that folks who are listening, and our show goes into prisons and institutions all across the country and around the world. And they know that our show deals with criminal justice issues. And for you to be a former warden and to be working with us, returning citizens, and doing whatever you can to make things better, that says volumes about you, sir. I want to put a plug, although I'm not putting a plug.
I want people to know where my heart is. You know, I wrote a book, Can Any Good Thing Come Out of Prison, right?
That's right.
And it's based on John 1:4-6, Can Any Good Thing Come Out of Nazareth? Because I refuse to be called a warden. I prefer to be referred a shepherd, right? Now I know better. I changed that title, you know, because, you know, God, what I thought was my job was really my ministry, right? Yeah. To transform and impact men and women under my care. So, I mean, listen, there's so many people that support the work that we do, and I'm always grateful. I'm not doing this for any accolades. I've told people 16 years ago when I retired, I shut my resume down. I'm not looking for a job. I'm not looking for awards. I'm not looking for accolades. All I want to do is do the work.
And the same to you, Dr. Ron. You said you served 20 years. Were you a doctor before you went in, or you got your doctorate after you came out of prison?
Well, neither one. Actually, my parents taught me education all my life. I went to North Carolina Anti-State University when I was 17 years old and made an absolute mess. So when I found myself in prison, I remembered what I had been taught and told all my life. And I was fortunate enough that with my family support to be able to enroll in college while I was in prison. So for 15 of my 20 years on my missionary journey, I call it, I was actually in college. I earned a bachelor's degree in theology in 2003, a master's in ministry in 2009, and a doctorate in ministry in 2012. But I have to say this right here. The correction system and the state that it is in today would not be the same if we had more wonderful folks like my mentor advisor, Mr. Holder. I wish he could. There should be a warden training program that all wardens have to go through in order to run a prison, and it should be headed up by Mr. Holder, because the system can be changed. It's just that they don't have the right people at the top level of leadership.
There you go. You know, we were fortunate.
I don't know if you're taking callers, but the engineer says that there is a caller on the line.
We got to end this in 5 minutes. Our next guest come on at 10:30, so we'll take one caller. You're on the air, please. Give us our first caller, Mike. Our first caller, you're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Hey, Roach, how you doing? This is Night Wolf. I keep hearing them saying that everybody's going to have a place at the table, but not once have I heard anything about Native American people being at the table. Can you tell me what's going on?
Hey, Night Wolf, we're talking about this. We would do a special show just on the Indians, the Spanish, the Mexicans, the Ethiopians, and Africans are going through this. We can't cover all the ethnic groups on one time, on 1 hour. We spoke last week. I'll get back with you, and we'll do a show just on your particular topic, Knight. That's no problem. But we're dealing with this topic this morning. We got a couple of minutes before we get out, before we bring our ex-guests on. Y'all want to give out some closing comments, Dr. Garrett and Carla Holder?
Well, I'll be quick. I really want to thank Mr. Holder, my mentor advisor, and Ms. LaShawn Quanda Mosley, who, without her, you know, work and dedication to putting this thing together, I don't know if we would be where we are with the conference. But please come out on Saturday, April the 6th, to the awards gala featuring Life Jennings, and we would love to see the community come out and support us for the march on March 7th at 9 o'clock a.m. at the American Memorial.
Okay, Dr. Holder, Carlisle, some closing remarks, please.
No, I just want folks to go to the website again. It's www.nrcc24.org. They can get all the information about the conference. I think we're going to be close to capacity. The max we can have at the conference is 400. And the last count we was pushing over 300. So we want folks to sign up. I think they'll get to meet folks and we want to just network and share all the great work that's happening, because we have individuals from all over the country and international that's going to be presenting. So this is and we're glad that we're here in the DMV as we celebrate, or I don't know if celebrate or worried or cry. 50 years, since, the signing of the bill, the first bill, the 1984 Crime Prevention Act, that really was the nexus, to the beginning of mass incarceration, followed, everybody know, by the Bill Clinton law in 1995, that really doubled down and sent a lot of our folks to prison. So join us for the event. You got folks like Nkechi and all the other members. And again, I want to give
Roach. Roach is participating also.
Yes, he's moderating the panel. Yes, yes.
But I'm not doing my comedy. I like to do my comedy, Doc.
Well, you may come in and they may call you up to do, you never know. You come to the comedy show, you may get a chance to do a little piece of it.
Well, I'll tell it to the hat then. I'll make sure the hat knows. Like, one question before we leave. For men and women who are incarcerated, will they be able to participate, or is there Zoom? Any arrangements made for those men and women who are incarcerated who might want to partake in this or get information on this conference?
So we're going to broadcast the main stages, because it's going to be live. All the other workshops is going to be recorded, and they'll be able to go after the convention and look it up on the 400 African American History website. So again, all the information that they need to find out about the countries on the website. Feel free to leave messages there. Someone will get back to you. And again, if any one of us, Nkechi, Ron, and myself, if you want to reach out to us, just do so through Roach. He can forward any
message. LaShawn just texted that exhibit hall table available with registration. So I think she's saying, when you register, either you can have a table or you can put things on a table, something along those lines. I just want to mention that.
All right.
And the promo information for the scholarships is on the website as well.
Well, I'm not sure what promo code Justice for the scholarships, and for the Kimber Smith, just scroll down until you see the Kimber movie, and because that's free. So you scroll past the registration to that. Anyway, it's all good. NRCC2024.org.
And don't forget the golf tournament. Don't forget the golf tournament. I need some players out there. So I'm bringing my golf club from Florida. Don't forget the golf tournament.
All righty. I want to thank Dr. Ron Garrett from the Director of Reentry United and our good friend Carla Holder. He was quite a man. Both of you gentlemen, anybody that do this kind of work to us, our kind of people. Thank you for trying to make things better for those less fortunate than all the rest of us. Thank you both. Well, we'll take a break and come right back with our next guest. And please, we'll see you April 5th and 6th, Friday and Saturday, in Arlington, Virginia, at the Renaissance Arlington Capitol View Hotel, 2800 South Potomac Avenue in Arlington. And if you lose the number, you can't, oh, I forgot how to access and on the internet, you can call the station 202-588-0893, and they'll put you in touch with Mertin or I, and we can give you the follow-up information to make sure that you're on location. Until the next time, I'm going to say, the next time I have you on, Doc, the count wasn't clear before you came on. So when you come on the show next, I got to make sure the count's clear when you come in.
Yes.
And the count just cleared, sir. It just cleared.
Got it.
Thank you.
Listen, you know I know what that means.
I know you do. Thank you both. And this is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. PFW is heard around the world. And thank you for listening and all the emails and texts we've been getting. And I'll see you, Dr. Ron, at the conference. Our next guest joining us this morning is none other than Ron Moulton, a well-known activist in Washington, D.C., who's making tremendous strides in improving our community. And he goes in places where a lot of folks will not go. And Ron stands up as a man and somebody that we respect. And he has a program, something that's coming out that we all should be cognizant of. And it's about the Go-Go Museum. Good morning, Ron Moulton.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to you, Turkey.
Same to you.
You want to share with our listening audience what the Go-Go Museum and what your efforts are and why this is important to our city?
Well, one of the things we have coming up before the museum opens is on April the 6th at Sycamore Oak at the St. Elizabeth campus, where we are celebrating the 5-year anniversary of Don't Mute DC, a movement that not only got the music back on, but it sparked a conversation and policy addressing inequities in Washington, D.C. And since this movement, we've gotten a lot of policy passed that has impacted our community. This is one of the first victories in D.C., major victories in a long time. In fact, many Black people felt like it was over for us, even though we still the majority of the city. But sometimes it takes a spark for people to come together and see the power that they have.
Yes.
So they continue to fight, because one of the biggest ways to stop a people is to convince them that they have no power. And that's something that has happened with our people when we start just, you know, giving up on power. When you feel like you don't have no power, who's the next person you start attacking? Your own,
yeah.
Right? So it's a great thing. So a lot of young people got involved with the movement, did a lot of great things as well. You had the young people from Ocala. Like I said, you had Don't Mute DC. You had a lot of other organizations doing what they do. And this shows not just Black people, when all people come together and address an issue, because it was over 80,000 people who signed our petition in a couple of days.
And in support of the museum?
Yeah, huh?
In support of the museum, the Go-Go Museum?
Oh, in support of the music coming back on. But after that, a lot of energy went towards the museum. You know what I'm saying? So the museum will be opening this summer. And we have 16 exhibits coming in the museum. Most of them are going to be interactive. We have a cafe, which is going to show the journey of our music coming from Africa, going through the Caribbean, going through Central America. So our menu is going to be kind of like that journey, right? Mm-hmm. The street foods from all those countries, and telling that story, telling our culture, telling our music. And it's so important because this museum is coming from the ground up. Most museums, even when we're telling our stories, they come from the top down. So they miss a lot of things, and the stories of the people are not told, and the people are not involved with telling those stories. So this is very important to me. Our chief curator is Dr. Natalie Hopkinson, formerly of Howard University, but now she's a professor at American University. And we really have some great volunteers and people helping us. And we want to thank all our sponsors. We want to thank the city council, our members who helped us get the buildings with DMPEG.
And where's the building located at? Where would the museum be located?
We have three properties on MLK. One property that we have that we're in, we're going to have the museum and the restaurant. And we have a lot that Douglas Jamal donated to us, 4,500 square feet out back, where we have a pavilion and performance area where you can get and eat your food. Next door, there will be Donnell's at the museum, where he has a lounge He used to have a nice lounge on Sherman Avenue by Howard University that a lot of people used to go to. I don't know if you remember Uncle Tyler. His uncle used to own that property over there, right?
Yeah.
So we had that. And then, of course, We Act Radio next door. So all this will be going on this summer. And, you know, the thing about it, man, we do a lot with nothing.
There you go.
You have this guy who has gotten millions, you know, $55 million dollars to fix up the stadium. He's a billionaire. Like, it costs $8 million to do what we're trying to do, and we're doing it with less than $2
million. Yeah.
And, you know, people will always make a big deal out of us getting some chump change.
Yeah.
But you got billionaires doing a ton of money, and nobody finds a problem with it, you know? And then on top of that, when you speak up about it, the billionaires attack you, and they send some crazy people hacks to try to, you know, destroy your name and reputation, but they don't know we battle tested. So so many good things that are coming from this. And it's been a fight, like I say, like, you know, it normally it's criminal to help the people. It's like a crime. Every time somebody from the community gets some help, people try to find a way to scrutinize.
Yeah, and to tear it down.
But this is something that's supported by the people. Not just in DC, but from a lot of places. We've had support partnerships with the Kennedy Center, with the Smithsonian Institute, and others. And we've done a lot of great things. And on the 6th, one of the things I want to circle back to, one of the conversations that we're going to have is the story of Chuck Brown, because a lot of people don't know that he learned how to play the guitar in prison.
And
he was in a band in Lawton, right?
Yes.
Then he came home and he's with the Los Latinos, a Latino band, right? And then the Soul Searchers, and then he started Go-Go. So it's a whole journey that people don't know about, a lot of commonalities, but also, like, they make Lawton such a bad place, but even people like you were in Inner Voices and all those musical groups that contributed to this day so much to our community. So we want to tell the story of how music and culture is a preventive measure against violence, but also a way to rehabilitate people, as it did with Chuck Brown, because a lot of people don't know these stories.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that. I was down in Lawton, and Chuck was down in Lawton with Peter Green, and this is amazing that returning citizens are making input. Even after he's passed away, they got a park named after him. He started a whole new genre of music, and he came out of prison as a returning citizen. Our previous guest was talking about this national conference of returning citizens, and returning citizens are making inroads and making improvements and improving our life and the quality of life all over the country. And I want to say that to Chuck Brown and what he did is phenomenal. And what you're doing is phenomenal in terms of honoring and respecting this gentleman. They make sure that music Go-Go is acknowledged worldwide.
Yes,
and for
sir.
A guy to come out of prison, had that kind of impact. You get Peter Green, Chuck Brown, and a whole lot of other guys that came out. So what you're doing and getting the support from the community, what can we do, Mo, to help get this museum off the ground?
Well, one, we definitely could take donations. You can go to our website, the gogomuseumandcafe.com. You can inbox me on Instagram, my name, Ronald Moulton. We're going to need volunteers for the museum when we open up. So we're trying to start recruiting volunteers now. Because when we open this summer, it's going to be a soft opening, and we'll just start off with doing special events and, you know, things with schools and things like that. And then by the fall, we'll open fully open, because we want to make sure everything is straight before we open for day-to-day operations. And we're also looking for fundraisers.
Yeah.
Because like I said, you know, a lot of people don't understand what it takes to do something that we're doing. And like, when you walk in here, you're not going to see a bunch of words on the wall. These are interactive exhibits, all right? These are exhibits that a lot of work is going into, and people are not going to expect what they see when they walk into the door over here, all right? We also have a Black construction company, Blue Sky Construction, doing the construction, right? So we're trying to keep as much
Scotty Irvin
of the community in as we can, but we also have, you know, one of the best interactive exhibit designing companies in the country. One locally, Creative Junk Food, and one nationally who does work throughout the world in museums, which is the Time Looper. So, like, this is not, you know, some little, you know, throwing together trash. This is something for our people to be proud of and show people that when they invest in the community, what can happen, right? Because there's a lot of people, you got to say, don't want this to happen because this opens the doors to show them when they invest in us, we can do this, right?
And so, go ahead.
You go ahead.
Would there be an exhibit or traveling exhibit to go to the schools to take the go-go music or traveling or mobile exhibit from your museum that would go to the schools and let the kids know the history and background and origin of go-go music?
That's a good question. So we have a mobile museum right now. We have some things being prepared on the rooftop of it because we had to make some adjustments. But we have a hydraulic performance stage on it. I want to thank our major sponsor, who made us sign a non-disclosure, but it's from a corporate entity that paid for 80% of it, right? This bus costs over $200,000. It has a mobile performance stage on the top. It has digital exhibits on the inside.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's all popping up in schools. Brought it out on the MLK parade, and we also brought it out for the Murrenbury street renaming.
Yeah.
Good Hope Road, formerly known as Good Hope Road. So the community got a taste. BF festivals, like we had the barbecue battle this year. I'm waiting to hear back from Jerry Vine to see if we're going to be in the Roots Festival in Philly. But we still got to raise money for that because you have to staff it. Like, you know, people not going to ride around for free. I mean, people got to pay bills.
There you go.
The sound man. What's the
website again where people can go to get? What is the website where people can go?
GoGoMuseumCafe.com. Yes.
What is it?
The GoGoMuseumCafe.com. In fact, we're changing out the donation button probably today or tomorrow. It's going to go to Square. So that'll be back up because we're changing it out from a GoFundMe to Square. So go right to our accounts versus paying GoFundMe money.
We're in the kitchen.
Exactly.
We're in the kitchen.
So I just want to say, first of all, my hat goes off to Ron Moten and all the phenomenal things that you're doing. It's so very important that we tell our own stories, that we share our own narratives ourselves, and what you're doing with the Go-Go Museum is just one huge part of that. And as a native Washingtonian, I just got to say thank you, thank you, thank you, my brother. And I also want to say, I just want to invite you, the guest we had earlier with the National Returning Citizens Conference, to consider getting a conference at the table to publicize the Go-Go Museum. You could sign up volunteers. There might be donors there who might be interested in that. Right. So just want to invite you to do that. You just go to that NRCC2024.org. And somewhere in there, actually, I can send you a link for exhibitor.
Okay, that'd be great.
The folk from all over the country are going to be there who are specifically interested in what's going on in D.C. So it might be a venue. It might be a financial opportunity. And you should learn more about this 400 years of African-American history because they are the sponsor of this conference. I don't know. They might want to do something with
you. They might because one of our main exhibits in the museum, it's called The Royal Pocket, and it goes back to Africa, and it talks about our African modernity and our journey from Africa, our music. You know, the cowboy bell came from Africa. The djembe and the voice are the first two forms of communication known to mankind, and it has a lot to do with our healing, our survival, and our everything that we did to maintain ourselves coming across this nasty, nasty transatlantic slave journey that we went through to get here, right? So we have an exhibit highlighting all of that. So I commonality there.
You know, we got one caller, but before we take the call, I just want to suggest, Mo, that you should be at this conference because our previous guest, this National Returning Citizens Conference, they got folks coming from all over the country and some from out of the country. And there are a lot of folk, man, who are influential. And it might not be too late if you can touch base with the teacher or somebody to make sure you can do a presentation or let your information be disseminated at the conference, because this is an opportunity to pull a lot of folks don't even know the history of Go-Go and the role that a returning citizen played in creating this. And this conference is the National Returning Citizens Conference. So it's a perfect buy-in for you, man.
Hey, Roach, a lot of people don't know it was a group of us in D.C. that came together and created the name Returning Citizens and got our legislators to legislate it into policy when nobody could call us anything other than returning citizens. Next thing we look up, President Obama saying return the citizens in the White House. So, let's be clear, the term return the citizens came right here from D.C.
So folks need to know that.
Of us came together. They need to know that. Yeah.
Yes.
We got one caller. We got a first caller. You got a caller on the line with a question or comment. You on the air, please.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nate, Morris.
Uh-huh.
I have a comment to your guest, which is, I'm in agreement with Ms. Nakichi. I tip my hat to you. And please continue to do what you are doing to continue uplifting our people, our communities, and our youngsters in particular. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
And if there's anything I can do to aid and assist, I'm pretty sure Roach will give you my information. You all have a
We sure will, Brother Nate. We sure will.
And your event on April 6th is where, Ron?
It's at Sycamore Oak from 3 to 7 p.m. We got the backyard band. We got the Kings with Mickey and the crew. We have the Crest Groove doing the New Orleans style music. So it's mumbo gumbo. We got free food. We got free We got free New Orleans food. And the event is totally free and open to the public.
Yeah.
Totally
free. Sycamore Oak.
Sycamore Oak, right there at St. Elizabeth campus, right beside the ESA Center, where the Mystics play, where they will continue to play because people fought to say, guess what? You're not moving our teams. I know you're mad at me. But guess what? The power of the people, D.C. and Maryland came, Virginia came together.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. For those folks who are listening, what would you tell to them people? I know a lot of people listening to our show that's in the joint, inside the institutions, in cell blocks, they're all over the country. In fact, we had one guy, man, he make $15 a month. And would you believe he sent us $20 money order and we had to send it back? Keep your money for them. Them guys, we have a donation fund drive, and this guy had make $15 a month and he sent us $30. That hurt. It felt good, but it hurt. Keep your money. We don't need that money. We got people out here who got resources that can help us out. We know how rough it is inside. What would you say to them people listening, Mo, who's in the joint, who like to be a part of this or participate some kind of way or get more information on the Go-Go Museum in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I mean, one, if they have any old Go-Go flicks, send them to us, because one of the exhibits is going back to Mr. G and telling the whole story about the Go-Go flick. Because some people went to the Go-Go just for the flick. Some people didn't go to the music. Go-Go Flick was just as big as the music sometimes, right?
What's
so we're going to tell that story. Huh?
What's Go-Go Flick?
The picture. The picture that you used to take with the Polaroid. And then it would have the pictures, photos by Mr. G and others.
So
it was a big thing in the Go-Go. So they could send us that for archiving. They got any paraphernalia. They might have some old documents, brochures, anything they can donate to the museum for future exhibits. But most importantly, when we open, just come out and support. And you can make donations. We're going to have events for our community. We're going to have events for nonprofits. We're going to be doing a lot. So they can support like that. And I just want to tell them, brothers, when while you're in there, just come up with a plan. And when you come home, you might come home with nothing in your hand. But just know, when once you make yourself valuable, the money comes in your hand. It comes in your hand. Just come home, make yourself valuable, and it's going to be hard. It's not easy in this day and time. But persistency, tenacity, and things of that nature, nobody will beat you. You will win.
Okay. You got anything you want to share, Nakichi? Oh, it's already in. We got 2 minutes left.
I couldn't get off of mute. I just want to say, keep on doing what y'all doing, you know. Hey, keep it up.
I'd like to suggest this, Mo. When we get off the air, call Nakichi, stay in touch and see if we can do a table or something at this conference, or you can do a presentation, because it's an opportunity to pull in a lot of support and resources for with the Go-Go Museum. They're bringing in like 300 to 400 people from around the country to participate. And these are some folks who are very influential and can make some things happen. And a lot of them, most people don't know that the Go-Go music came from that Chuck Brown of Returning Citizens. And we're making news nationally and internationally. So some kind of way we can connect, Mo, with Nakichi to see that but Friday and Saturday, the 5th and 6th, I'm supposed to be on your program on the Saturday or the 6th.
Yep. But what time is yours on the 6th, Vaughn?
3 to 7.
Okay. Oh, give us some closing contact information, Ron, please.
You can go to the website, www.gogomuseumcafe.com, or you can just inbox me on Instagram at Ronald Moten, or call 202-848-4394.
Okay, and thank you. And I'll see you on the 5th. We'll be there, man, with our boots on. And I ain't got no handcuffs, and I'm on parole. I'm off all parole. Right. Okay. Thank you, Ronald Moten, with the Go-Go, DC's Go-Go Museum. This is a big honor for one of our own local citizens. But beyond that, he was a returning citizen, and this man started inside. Go ahead, Nikisha. You have something you want to say?
No, I was just saying, go-go, yeah. That's
all. The beat don't stop. The beat don't stop, y'all.
That's right. And the day of Chuck Brown's passing, I got calls from my cousins all down Florida and North Carolina. Who's Chuck Brown? So the word was spreading fast that day.
Thank you. I guess it's been Ron Moten, the D.C. Go-Go Museum. Thank you for doing what you're doing, man. This city would be the same. If you weren't here, Ron, I don't know what would be happening in this city.
All of
you shaking the bushes.
A nice apartment the landlord just won't rent.
Celebrating 20 years, the New African Film Festival, presented by AFI and Africa World Now Project, brings the vibrancy of African filmmaking from all corners of the continent and across the diaspora to the DMV at the AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 15 to the 28th. The festival features 26 films from 16 countries, including 3 years premieres and discussions with filmmakers. Explore the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa at the 2024 New African Film Festival. Tickets and full schedule at AFI.com/silver. That's AFI.com/silver. Or call 301-495-6700. 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Greetings, family. The WPFW Programmers Association, in harmony with station management, presents WPFW Live, a series of events over the next 6 months in partnership with some of your favorite local venues. The goal is to re-engage the community through a remembering of the valued relationships forged, all pointing to a reimagination of our future. Our first WPFW Live event will be held Wednesday, April 3rd, 5 to 9 p.m., at 18th Street Lounge, 1230 9th Street Northwest. Meet some of your favorite local programmers, enjoy great music, and partake in good spirits. Music by DJ Rasan, Music Relief Radio, Kamal Harris, Beats, Bars, and Bangers, and featuring DJ Divine, Soulful House Sessions. Food by Chef Jarobi of Flavorful Influences. Tickets are $20 and available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW Live. For details, call 202-618-2110. WPFW, changing the world one live event at a time.
Diverse City Fund is a grassroots grant source for change makers of color in the nation's capital. We fund social justice work by and for DC people of the global majority. Apply online now, no later than Friday, March 29th, by going to the website www.diversecityfund.org. You can send email to info@diversecityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and past recordings are online to answer all your questions. See www.diversecityfund.org or call 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Diverse City Fund ofrece subvenciones para agentes de cambio de color en la capital de la nación. Financiamos el trabajo de justicia racial y social por y para líderes de color en D.C. Solicite una subvención en línea hoy al más tardar el viernes 29 de marzo visitando el sitio web www.diversecityfund.org. Fechas y horarios y grabaciones de las sesiones informativas pasadas están en nuestra página web. Para preguntas, visiten www.diversecityfund.org o llamen al 202-743-0130. Eso es 202-743-0130.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective.